Welcome back. It's another edition of the Wobcast. I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw, coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. Producer Nate Vaughn is here, and we are both here to preview the Atlanta Falcons Minnesota Vikings game, which is coming up on Sunday. Before we get going, from Nate and I, we trust that you all had a happy Thanksgiving, enjoyed some food, some family, and some football. And for dessert this year on Thanksgiving, Vikings fans got a Green Bay Packers loss, which puts the Vikings back in first place in the NFC North. Of course, they have to win to remain in first place. If the Vikings do not win on Sunday, we go back to how we started this week with Green Bay in first place. Us tied, but Green Bay getting the nod because of the head-to-head tiebreaker. So the Vikings go down to Atlanta, take care of business. They will be in first place. Mike Zimmer was asked about that earlier on Friday. He says he's not concerning himself with that right now. All they are is focused on beating the Atlanta Falcons. Probably a pretty good mindset for Coach Zimmer and the team. The Vikings coming off their first loss since week four as they dropped a decision 30-13 to the Green Bay Packers on Sunday. The Atlanta Falcons also lost last Sunday. They lost at home to the Indianapolis Colts. They have now lost three straight games, so both the Vikings and Falcons looking to rebound. The Atlanta Falcons, they have lost three straight, and they are one game worse than the Vikings right now at 6-4. But this is a gritty Atlanta Falcons team, make no mistake. Good defense orchestrated by Dan Quinn, who helped put together that Seattle Seahawks defense that has been so good for the past few seasons. The Falcons have wins this season by 2, 4, 6 points in overtime and 3 points. So a gritty Falcons team that knows how to win close games. They are 6-4. They are in second place in the NFC South. If the playoffs were to begin right now in this instant, the Vikings would be hosting the Atlanta Falcons in the playoffs. The Falcons are the sixth seed. The Vikings, by virtue of Green Bay's loss on Thursday night, would be the three seed. But the playoffs don't start right now. It's a regular season game for the Vikings and Falcons on Sunday. The Falcons, three losses to Tampa Bay, San Francisco, and Indianapolis in the last 3 weeks. So the Falcons will be looking to rebound, and they'll be looking to do so against the Vikings. Now, when you look at both of these teams' offenses, you have the leading rusher and the leading receiver in the NFL facing off. It's Adrian Peterson, who still leads the NFL in rushing yards with 1,006. He is the only 1,000-yard rusher in the NFL right now. In second in the NFL in rushing is Tampa Bay's Doug Martin. And Devontae Freeman, who will not play on Sunday, is fifth in the NFL in rushing and leads the NFL in rushing touchdowns with 9. But Adrian Peterson still tops the rushing charts in the NFL. He'll obviously play in this game. Topping the receiving yardage charts in the NFL right now is Atlanta's Julio Jones. He has 1,189 receiving yards to lead the league. He is one of three receivers with 1,000 yards. Antonio Brown of Pittsburgh is second, and DeAndre Hopkins of Houston, having a breakout season for the Texans, he's in third. So a cool matchup. They won't be on the field at the same time, but Adrian Peterson and Julio Jones, two of the best at what they do in the NFL, and they will share the field on Sunday. A little bit more on Julio Jones. When you talk about Julio Jones, he is the heart and soul of that passing game. We don't want to take any credit away from trigger man Matt Ryan, who obviously is distributing the ball. But Julio Jones, when you look at targets, receptions, and yards for the Falcons, 135 targets for Julio Jones, the next highest, 62. Julio Jones, 89 receptions, the next highest on the team, 41. Julio Jones, 1,189 receiving yards, that is 743 more receiving yards than the next highest Falcon. So there's no doubt about it. This Atlanta Falcons passing game goes through Julio Jones. The Vikings are going to have to contend with that on Sunday. It's not a division game, but it's a big game for the Vikings and Falcons. One of just two games on the NFL slate this week between a pair of teams who would both be in the playoffs if the playoffs were to start today. The other game is the Sunday night game, New England Patriots at the Denver Broncos. A loss for the Falcons plus a win by Seattle or Tampa Bay would knock the Falcons out of the playoff picture. A win puts the Vikings in the driver's seat in the NFC North. A loss for the Vikings just muddles up the NFC North. It brings the Chicago Bears into play because they suddenly have 5 wins, and it muddles up the wild card, of course, because Atlanta would obviously jump up a notch. The Vikings would come down, and then you have Seattle, Tampa Bay, and the Bears. who are all contenders right now. So long way to go. Six more games. After this weekend, it'll be five more. But this is a big game for the Vikings, the Falcons, and for the NFC playoff picture. Last thing we'll go over, the injuries. Devontae Freeman, as we said earlier, out for this game, as is wide receiver Leonard Hankerson and kicker Matt Bryant. It looks like Harrison Smith and Everson Griffin will be good to go for the Vikings. Of course, we won't know for sure until Sunday, 90 minutes before the game, when teams are required to submit their list of inactive players. But it's looking pretty good for the Vikings. Cornerback Trey Waynes, who's got an ankle injury. Don't know if he's going to play or not, but we're hopeful on Harrison Smith and Everson Griffin.
Here starts. Met in the backfield and loses yardage. First guy there was Daniil Hunter. And Daniil, a third-round pick out of LSU, is a big-bodied defensive end who's just learning angles and how to play out on the edge in the NFL, but they think he's got a chance to be a good one.
Yeah, he, like you said, he's just a young guy, a third-round pick out of LSU, but he's got some real length to him. He's learning some of his pass moves, but that was a good job of fighting off a blocker and making a play in the backfield.
You hear some sound from last week's game against the Green Bay Packers. They're talking about Vikings defensive end Daniil Hunter. He's a player we should be talking more about, everyone, because he's coming on strong for the Vikings right now, the rookie out of LSU, the youngest player in the NFL, but he's gaining experience here in his rookie season playing behind Everson Griffin and Brian Robinson, and he's playing more and more. In week 7, Daniil Hunter, 13 defensive snaps. The following 4 weeks, 21, 20, 22, and then last week, 28 snaps for Daniil Hunter. The play that you just heard was one of three plays where Daniil Hunter penetrated the backfield and disrupted a Green Bay Packers offensive play. He's been doing that more and more for the Vikings, and I think you're going to see it more and more as the season wears on. He didn't play a ton of snaps early, so the rookie wall that you hear a lot about is not in play for Daniil Hunter. He should be getting stronger and stronger right now because he's been coming on more and more of late. So good to see that. You can never have too many good defensive linemen. Mike Zimmer loves to rotate guys in and out, up and down the defensive line, and Daniil Hunter gives him a lot of depth at defensive end. So we love what we've seen from Daniil. For more on this game, an outsider's perspective on this game, we're going to go to the NFL Network preview, where Colleen Wolf and Ike Taylor take a look at the Vikings-Falcons matchup. Ike Taylor, of course, a great defensive back for the black and gold, the Pittsburgh Steelers. But this week, talking about Vikings and Falcons, Ike Taylor is all about the purple and gold.
Ike Taylor, we're previewing the Falcons and the Minnesota Vikings game. Well, the Vikings, they just lost to the Packers to even the standings atop the division. And then you have the Falcons. Matt Ryan, three picks. They lost Devonta Freeman to a concussion, and they lost the game to the Colts. So let's start with Minnesota. Mike Wallace, we never hear from you. You don't call, you don't write, you don't catch passes. What's going on, man?
The kid. I'm looking for the kid.
We all are.
Mike Wallace, he called himself the kid. That's my guy. New Orleans guy, but Mike, I need you on the field. I need you on the field, man. We gave you a lot of money. I'm waiting to see you. Yeah, you're the Ferrari that's sitting in the garage, but man, we only had 100-yard game in the last 28 games. Just one touchdown this season, two receptions of 20 yards or more. I need Mike Wallace. I feel like he is one of the keys to this offense. He's a great guy on and off the field. I just need him to be a real great guy on the field. Mike Wallace, come from out the shed, please.
He has to. A really crucial drop, too, that would have set them up for a score this week. So you can't be doing that either, Mike. Come on. How about Julio Jones? Because you can count on him all the time. How about multiple touchdowns in this one?
Well, Julio, when he gets two touchdowns or more, the Falcons are 8-0.
8-0, and he's done it 8 times.
Hey, I see you, Julio. Keep doing your thing. Can you please feed this beast in Julio Jones? And Matty Ice, I love you to death. But 3 picks, we got to simmer that down just a little bit. Man, just give your boy the ball. And your boy is Julio Jones. He's on pace to set records for the Atlanta Falcons. Hopefully he can. Time will tell. We'll see that on Monday. Sunday. I mean, what day it is today?
You know what? All the days, they run together, especially when Thanksgiving is in the middle of the week here with all those games on Thursday. This is coming up on Sunday, early games.
I'm fresh off a China trip, and I'm tripping.
That's all right. I mean, we all are here at NFL Network. All right, so we had James Jones. We saw him rip up their defense. Right. Julio Jones, we'll see if he does that. Who wins this matchup?
Ooh, is Teddy Bridgewater playing?
Yeah, he should be.
Okay, then. Well, they're winning. I'm going with the Minnesota Vikings. If Teddy Bridgewater can play, I'm sure AP is going to be pissed off because last week he didn't do too good against the Green Bay Packers defense. Mike Wallace, I'm looking for you. Stephon Diggs, can I find you? Can you be that young rookie stud you've been?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, man, I like the defense. They front four has been solid.
Let's protect Teddy a little bit, too. He was sacked a bunch this time.
Right.
That's sort of been a theme this year.
I got to get him in the weight room with me.
Yeah. That's going to be a segment, hopefully, coming up. You should stay tuned to NFL Now to see that and all of our segments here.
A University of Georgia standout and a former Atlanta Falcon, DJ Shockley, was our guest on Game Plan this week for the DraftKings Extra Point. He gives his perspective.
All right, guys, thanks. Looking forward to a very intriguing matchup this week versus the Minnesota Vikings. Offensively, it runs through Matt Ryan, who's had a pretty good season so far, but also getting the ball to Julio Jones has been the key factor this season.
Matt throws, caught Julio! Touchdown, Atlanta!
But the key component also has been the run game. The run game has really kicked up a hitch with Devontae Freeman. He's done a good job this year. Hopefully he is well enough to come back after posing a concussion in last week's game versus the Indianapolis Colts. But look for him and Tevin Coleman to come along as well. Julio Jones has been the primary stagnant for this team, but look for other guys like Jacob Tammy, guys like Leonard Hankinson to also be a part of the mix. And then there's always the wily veteran in Roddy White. Defensively, this is a team that has done a very good job of stopping the run. They look for a very, very tough matchup against Adrian Peterson, who all knows in the National Football League is a very tough runner. Teddy Bridgewater also poses some threats as he can get on the outside as he gets out and runs the football. But on defense, look for Paul Warlow, Justin Durant, and also the Falcons picked up number 8 pick in the draft, Vic Beasley, who's come along really well, who's starting to come in his own and get some pressure up front defensively. This looks to be a very intriguing matchup as both teams have a lot to play for. Wild card is on hand. Very huge game. Looking forward to seeing what happens in this ball game.
Okay, let's keep the focus on the Atlanta Falcons. We bring in Nate Vaughn for the regular segment of Three Threats, where he identifies three members of the opposition who pose threats to our favorite team on Sunday. Hello, Nate.
Hello, Wobby. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, Wobby.
I had a great Thanksgiving. It was a good day for the Vikings on Thanksgiving, by the way.
It was.
If you look at all three games and if you could speak for the Vikings and choose who you would want to win, I believe the Vikings' choice won in all three.
3-0.
So pretty good.
I like that. 3-0 without even playing.
Right. So let's forget about those games as Mike Zimmer wants us to stop scoreboard watching and focus on what's in front of us.
Okay. We're going to take a look at one threat on each side of the ball, and then we'll have a surprise threat for number three.
Good.
The first threat, you think of the Atlanta Falcons, you think of Julio Jones. You
I
can't
do.
Ignore him. You talked about his stats, just how much of the offense he actually makes up. Not everybody can totally stop him, but a key to winning this game would be at least to try to contain him.
I agree. Julio Jones is a monster. I mean, like 6'4", 6'5", 200-plus pounds, great speed, great vertical leap. You can use him out wide. You can use him in the slot. You can use him vertically down the field. You can use him in the screen game. He's probably a good blocker because he's good at everything else he does. He's obviously a major threat. Now, here's the good news. Mike Zimmer and this Vikings bunch have already played this Falcons bunch. They did so last year at home, granted. 6 receptions for 82 yards with 0 touchdowns on 8 targets. I would take that in this week's game, no doubt about it. If you can do anything close to that this week against Julio, I think that you're going to be in good shape on the road against Atlanta, an Atlanta offense that will be without Devontae Freeman, who I would imagine would have been one of your three threats on this list if he was going to be playing in the game, but he's not. So that puts even more of an emphasis on Matt Ryan in this passing game. We're not discounting Tevin Coleman. He's a rookie running back who's going to step in for Freeman, but he's not the back that Freeman is. Freeman leads the NFL in rushing touchdowns with 9. It's nice the Vikings won't have to deal with that on Sunday, but they still have to deal with Julio Jones, the top threat for the Falcons, no doubt.
On the defensive side of the ball, we're going to take a look at Desmond Trufant.
Mm-hmm.
Talked a little bit about the kind of defensive presence they're trying to bring to Atlanta.
Yep.
And normally you think about the Falcons and you do think of the offensive firepower, but you also think, well, how much can their defense do to stop the opposing team as well? Well, that's starting to change, at least to a point where you have to respect the Falcons' pass defense, and that starts with Desmond Trufant.
Yep. A big corner, 6 foot, 190 pounds. He's got 9 pass breakups already this season. He had 16 last year and 17 the year before. Trufant was a first-round pick in 2013, number 22 overall. So rack your brain a little bit. Remember the 2013 draft. That's the draft the Vikings took Sharif Floyd and then Xavier Rhodes, and then Cordarrelle Patterson. So Desmond Trufant was taken 22nd overall. Sharif Floyd was taken 23rd overall. Then the Vikings got Rhodes, and then the Vikings got Patterson. So Trufant and Rhodes were two of the better corners in that 2013 draft class. Both will be in the game on Sunday. Both will play pivotal roles. Obviously, Xavier Rhodes will be on Julio Jones quite a bit, and Desmond Trufant will be on whoever is on his side of the field, whether it's Stephon Diggs, Mike Wallace, or Jarius Wright, Charles Johnson, whoever it might be. Trufant's going to have a big role. When you look back at the Seattle Seahawks defenses, the Legion of Boom, with the two good safeties and with two good corners on the outside, including Richard Sherman, well, Dan Quinn was a part of building that. He's trying to do that in Atlanta right now. Desmond Trufant is a big piece.
The third threat we're going to take a look at is crowd noise.
Mm-hmm.
Being in the dome for so many years up here, we're familiar with how loud a dome can get,
yep.
almost regardless of how big it is. That roof yep. catches a lot of
holds
sound.
Holds the sound in, yeah.
And we know that Coach Zimmer has acknowledged it at least once. He talked about it today in his press conference. So
yeah.
It's definitely something that is on Coach Zimmer's mind, and I'm sure the players are
yeah.
hopefully going to be ready for it too.
Well, Coach Zimmer knows about it because he coached in Atlanta for one season before That's he went true. To Cincinnati. So
he used that crowd noise.
So, yeah, he did. So he knows how loud it can get, and they have a good team. So the crowd is louder for a good team. So, and I think that You're smart in bringing this one up in three threats because the Vikings are coming off a game in which they had eight penalties, including a handful or so on offense and some procedural penalties. So you can't have that. I thought that being behind the chains and down in distance early in the game took the ball out of Adrian's hands. You don't want that to happen against this Atlanta Falcons team because the game will get sideways in a hurry. So Vikings got to be buttoned up, handle the crowd noise, and set the tempo on offense. You can't do that if you're going backwards. You got to be going forward. So no procedural penalties due to this crowd noise would be a big win for the Vikings.
Okay, next we will move on to our fan-submitted question. This one is from John Jessen. So hello, John. Thank you for sending in your question.
Hello, John. Thanks for sending in your question.
Let's see if Wabi can come up with an answer for you. The Vikings have pretty good speed on the outside. Do you think going deep early and often would stretch the field for the Vikings?
Yeah, it would, but I don't think just throwing as the coaches call it long foul balls will do it. When you do it, you got to hit it. That's what stretches the defense. And so I wouldn't do it recklessly or irresponsibly in this game or in any game for that matter, but I do think, John, this is a game where the Vikings passing game can perhaps start to air it out, and here is why. I actually have stats and notes on this because I used it in a radio spot with PA earlier in the week. Teddy, in domes, which is where the Vikings will play this weekend. Three career games, Nate and John. 71% passer, 8.3 yards per attempt, which is very good and would be near the top of the league if that was your year-long average per attempt. So 71% completions, 8.3 yards per attempt. 260 passing yards per game and a 96.7 passer rating in domes.
All Not right? bad.
So Atlanta has the number one rushing defense. They play with eight in the box quite a bit. They run blitz. They shoot gaps to try and stop the run. Play with all those guys near the line of scrimmage. Playing on a fast track in a dome with a quarterback who plays well in the dome. This could be a game for the Vikings aerial assault to get on track and maybe take some pressure off of Adrian Peterson. So, long answer to John's question, yes.
And on the topic of fan submissions, I understand there's a specific fan that you want to give a shout-out to, Wabi.
Yep, there is. It's Justin Peterson from Charleston, South Carolina. Nate, I forwarded you this email. He's a Wobcast fan. More importantly, he's a Vikings fan. But he says, doing household chores goes by much faster while enjoying a nice long Wobcast. So we appreciate nice. That from Justin. Yes, we do. So Justin is going to the game this weekend. So we hope Justin and all the Vikings fans who are going to Atlanta to take in this game and all the fans across the country who watch the game on TV or listen to it on the Vikings Radio Network, we hope that you guys enjoy the game on Sunday. And we thank Justin in Charleston, South Carolina, for listening to the Wobcast and for being a great fan of the Vikings.
So Justin will see two teams that right now are very much in the playoff hunt.
They are.
Let's talk about some of the other teams that are in the playoffs.
They're in the playoffs right now.
That's true.
Yeah.
If the season ended today,
they would be in.
It's such a great cliche. Mm-hmm. I love saying that because right. everybody knows it doesn't end
right.
the day that they say it will.
Right.
Anyway, let's talk about some of the other teams.
Yep.
Let's take a look at how the seeding is panning out. We already talked about the Vikings and the Packers. right now they're at the 3 and 5 seed, respectively. Mm-hmm. But what about the rest of the NFC?
Well, the Carolina Panthers are undefeated, Nate. That's a good record.
This just in.
Yeah. You know, the last team, we'd have to look this up. I think the Vikings are the last team to beat the Panthers in the regular season.
Oh, yeah? You might be right. Here at TCF Bank Stadium.
Yes. So the Panthers are hot. They lost their playoff game, of course, because they didn't win the Super Bowl, but they haven't lost a regular season game since they lost here. So your Carolina Panthers are legit. And you know what? They don't have a glitzy, glamorous passing game, but, you know, playoff football, a lot of times you're playing like in cold weather games, and being able to run the ball and playing great defense is not a bad formula in those types of games. So your Carolina Panthers are dangerous. They're 11-0, and they are entrenched in the one seed right now. And quite frankly, I don't think they're moving. You know, teams are mathematically in position to catch them. The Cardinals have 8 wins, so they're 3 back. You know, the Vikings have 7 wins; they're 4 back. But your Carolina Panthers looking pretty good for the one seed. The 2 seed is the Arizona Cardinals of the NFC West at 8-2. And the Vikings have a date with the Cardinals coming up in a few weeks on a Thursday night, a short week, a big challenge to go down to Arizona and get them. But they're the number 2 seed at 8-2 right now. The Vikings, because of Green Bay's loss on Thanksgiving night, the Vikings are now your NFC North leaders. So you slot them in the third position in the NFC. The Giants lead the NFC East at 5-5. They're in fourth position. They have a game against the Redskins, Nate, on Sunday, and the winner of that game will be your NFC East leader, but right now it's the Giants. The Packers in the 5th seed in the wild card spot at 7-4, and then our Atlanta Falcons that we'll be playing on Sunday would be the 6th seed at 6-4 in the NFC right now. So the funny thing about the playoff picture right here is you've got it laid out in a chart, but
it's a great-looking chart, by the way.
It's a fantastic-looking chart.
Thank you.
Literally, every one of these teams except the Panthers in the one seed can change after Sunday's games. 2 through 6 can change. So hopefully the Vikings don't change and they remain in the third spot with a win. They cannot jump up to number 2 this week. They could the week after or even the week after that, but they cannot jump up to number 2 this week. Hopefully the Vikings remain in third position in the NFC with a win on Sunday. What happens below them, obviously, you can't control and isn't really going to matter because a lot of it's going to change. Over in the AFC, here's how things stand. It's no less muddled. The Patriots sit atop the AFC in good position with the one seed. They're undefeated as well at 10-0, but they have a tricky game this weekend against the Broncos at Denver. That'll be a tricky game, especially with how banged up the Patriots are. The Bengals, number 2 at 8-2. The Broncos, 3rd at 8-2. The Colts, AFC South leaders at 5-5 would be the 4th seed. So those are your 4 division winners: Patriots, Bengals, Broncos, Colts. The 2 wild cards right now, your Pittsburgh Steelers at 6-4, and the suddenly red hot and resurgent Kansas City Chiefs at 5-5. So again, let's review the playoff fields right now. AFC, Patriots, Bengals, Broncos, Colts, Steelers. Teams who are in the hunt still in the AFC: the Texans, the Bills, and the Jets at 5-5. The Raiders, the Jags, and the Dolphins at 4-6. In the NFC, Panthers 1, Cardinals 2, Vikings 3, Giants 4. Those are your division leaders. The 2 wildcard teams, Packers and Falcons. Still in the hunt in the NFC, Buccaneers and Seahawks at 5-5. Washington, the Rams, the Eagles, the Saints, all with 4 wins are in the hunt. The Bears at 5 wins are in the hunt. And as Nate has a note on here just for me, because I'm a closet Cowboys fan, when the Vikings aren't playing the Cowboys, still mathematically in the hunt at 3-8, even with Tony Romo looking to be injured once again. Tough, rough, unlucky season for your Dallas Cowboys.
All right, now finally we'll get to the over-unders for this week.
Mm-hmm.
Over-under number 1, Teddy passing yards. You talked about how he's almost a different quarterback, a better quarterback in domes, statistically at least. And he averages, what did you say, 260 yards per game in domes passing?
260, yep.
260 yards per game. If we put the over-under at 259.5, do you think he would be over or under that?
I'm going to go over. I think that this is, you know, I don't want to get splashy and make predictions and make it look like we're disrespecting the Falcons. And actually, this prediction comes out of respect for the Falcons because I believe they're very good at stopping the run. I think they do it with force and they do it with numbers. And it's something they pride themselves on, and it won't surprise me if that's their focus in this game. But I think that the time is coming for the Vikings passing offense to start hitting on all cylinders. And if it does, I think Teddy will be over the number that you've set for passing yards in this game at 259.5, so I will take the over.
The second over-under we're going to take a look at is Mike Wallace, who may or may not be on the receiving end of some of those passing yards. Hasn't been targeted or logged a lot of receptions lately in the past few games. But if we put the over-under at 3.5 receptions for Mike Wallace in this game,
I'd say over.
Over.
And if I'm right on the first one, I think I'm going to be right on this one. So if Teddy's going for a big yardage day, I think Mike Wallace is going to be a big part of that. And, you know, we've seen that the Teddy-Mike Wallace connection is not quite where we want it to be yet. But when we see it, I think it's close. I think it's right there. They're not missing by much. It's by, you know, an arm length at most on a lot of these deep passes. So I think it's close, and I think this is the game where maybe it catches fire. So I'm taking over on that.
And finally, the third over-under we're going to take a look at. We talked about Julio Jones, the number one receiver in yardage and receptions in the NFL this year.
Yep, he good.
Adrian, the number one rusher in yardage in the NFL this year.
He good.
No, so the best in both of those positions.
Yes.
We're going to look at their total combined yards. So the yardage of the best receiver in the NFL and the best running back in the NFL.
It will be many.
It will be many. Will it be over or under 175.5 yards, though? That's the question.
God, so if I want to take the over, you're really going to make me shoot for a high number. Well, I'm going to go over.
Over.
Yeah, I'm going over on this. And I think it's, you know, I mean, the numbers for Julio, like, even like teams who do a good job against him, you know, like, I think the Vikings did a great job against Julio last year. They still gave up 82 receiving yards, you know?
It's crazy. Guys have these numbers at the end of the year and make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah. Yeah, for Julio. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
And he still has six games to go.
He's already there. Yeah. So I just think there's some element of, like, even if it just goes the entirely right way for a defense, Julio still gets his because they just keep going to him. I mean, the target numbers that I was talking about earlier are unbelievable for Julio. 135 targets this year for Julio Jones. The next highest on the team is 62. You know, that's more than double the targets from the next highest guy. So I still think Julio's going to get his. And, and, you know, we've seen teams come in and overplay the run and run blitz and shoot gaps before, and Adrian has run on. I mean, Oakland was doing that, and Adrian ran for 200. So fast track, inside the dome, controlled environment, good day for Teddy Bridgewater, I think. That could loosen some things up and allow Adrian a little more space, especially in the second half when we're hopefully nursing a lead. And if the Falcons are losing and they're trying to come back, they're going to throw the ball even more. And we know that means that there are going to be more targets for Julio. So I'm going to go over on this, but I hope it's mostly because of 28. All right, so there it is. That is our complete Vikings-Falcons preview. The game coming up Sunday. It's a noon Central Time kickoff, 1 o'clock p.m. for those of us who will be on the East Coast. That includes producer Nate Vaughn and I, as we hope to watch the Vikings get to win number 8 on the season. It would be a huge win for your Vikings. They would move into first place and lead by one full game. Right now, technically, they're in first place by a half a game, but this win would give them a one-game lead over the Green Bay Packers in the NFC North with 5 games to go. So still a lot of football to go. You got to take it one game at a time, but this is a big game for both teams, and it has huge implications on the NFC playoff picture. On behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. That's going to do it for this edition of the Wobcast, but we'll be back early next week with another edition of the Wobcast as we break down what happened at the Georgia Dome between the Vikings and the Falcons on Sunday. Hopefully it's a big Vikings victory, and we'll have lots of highlights for you to hear, for us to celebrate, and for all of us to talk about. Okay, that's it. Thanks for listening. Until next week, see you later. So yeah, I start with